Listeners know I do like to talk about regulation. I think it's really important that we make sure that we're applying the right compliance to our customers and making sure we're keeping them safe in all the right way. The Europeans are so invested in this as well. And I wanted to learn a little bit more about an upcoming regulation, NIS2. So I had Eric Jan-Frieser on to tell me a little bit more and what they're doing to help be compliant on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Looking to reach an audience of thousands of MSPs and IT service providers? Put your ad right here on The Business of Tech and be on the show that 64% of MSPs report having listened to. A recurring top 50 tech news podcast, there are affordable options for you to reach our audience, and we can support any budget. Podcast listeners are more engaged, have a higher level of brand retention, and are more willing to listen to ads here than any other avenues. Want to know more? There's information at mspradio.com/engage, including a button to book a time to talk. I'm looking forward to that discussion.
Eric, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you for having me.
Now, I cover a ton of legal and compliance stories on the show, but obviously I've got a very heavily American audience, so I light touch to some European laws, but there's one coming up that I think we want to have a conversation about. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with NIS, that Network Information Systems law, and the directive from the EU. What's happening with it over the course of this year?
So what we see is that the NIS2 directive is coming towards us, and there's a lot of buzz going on around it in Europe. We see a lot of countries developing their own requirements. The member states are developing their requirements, and a lot of companies get lost in the jungle that called NIS2 at the moment. And we developed a platform for that to help these companies out becoming compliant to NIS2.
Well, let's take the quick step back. What is NIS2? What's it contain and who's it applied to?
So the NIS2 is a follow-up on the NIS1 directive, and it really focuses on cybersecurity. It focuses on these high critical and other critical sectors that really need to have their cybersecurity on a good base level. And what has been developed is a directive that really shows these companies that they need to have in order to be compliant to NIS2. And one of the other things is that there will be fines granted to these companies if they don't have this in place. And that's really a difference if we look to other directives.
Now, a lot of these cybersecurity frameworks are very standard, right? We talk a lot about the NIST cybersecurity framework in the US. We've got some of the new directors around that. But one of the things about NIST2 is it applies very broadly in a way that a lot of my American listeners ought to care about. Talk to me a little bit about how it applies and who it applies to.
So it really applies, if you look at the official way, to two sectors, the high critical sectors. You can think of the energy companies, transportation, financial market, healthcare, drinking water, wastewater, digital infrastructure. These are really the high critical sectors, but also the administrators of IT services, space travel, banking. So that's the section that's called the high critical sectors. But we also have the other critical sectors, and they are these are the digital providers, postals, courier services, waste management, food producing, chemicals, research, manufacturing. It's really a broad spectrum of these companies. And what we also see developing is the supply chain companies that are offering services to these companies. So it's getting broader and broader in companies that need to comply and companies that want to comply to NIS2.
Now, we were talking before, and one of the reasons I was interested in this is that you looked at this and your interpretation is that there's actually going to be a lot of American companies that are swept up in this in ways that they may not be aware of. Give me some of the examples of the scenarios that you've been thinking about that my American listeners need to be aware of.
So What we see is we get a lot of questions asked by different companies, and they ask us like, how is your tool working for us for NIS2? And then I look at these companies and I ask them, why do you want to become compliant to NIS2? Because you don't have to become compliant. But then these companies, they quickly say to me, you know, we have these companies that we work with in Europe, and we expect that they will ask us to also comply to these NIS2 requirements. And that's why we specially designed also a supply chain portal for them to show that they have compliance to the minimal requirements that NIS2 is asking them.
And it's pretty broad, right? Because, I mean, if I'm an American company and I manufacture something and I sell a unit to a European, I'm now swept up in this, right? Like, I would have to make sure that sale and all the data, everything related to it is involved, right? Walk me. I mean, it's that granular, and what do I have to protect?
So it's really depending on which customers do you offer your service to in Europe. And if these customers are in these critical sectors, then you can expect them to ask you that you comply to the most of the requirements that are being asked inside of the NIS2.
So let's talk about the framework itself, because I want to make sure that my listeners are getting a sense of some of the specifics in it. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me a little bit about some of the specific requirements that are in there and some of the penalties for non-compliance.
So if you look at the specific requirements, Dave, then we're looking at a lot of them. We look at incident handling, business continuity. We look at the supply chain security. So they really have to look at how is your supply chain organizing their security. So that is one of really important. We also look at cybersecurity awareness training. Monitoring of your ISMS management, internal audits, and you really can go on and on. It's really about looking at what have you done, what are you doing, how are you managing your cybersecurity. And it really will touch a lot of your customer base.
So one of the things that's always notable about European regulations is that they generally come with real peaks. Europeans are much more aggressive as regulators in terms of making the penalties substantial. Tell me a little bit about the penalties for non-compliant.
Yes, so this is one that's really important. Penalties can be really big. So when you're not compliant to NIS2 for the essential high critical sectors, the fines can go to 10 million euros. Or 2% of your year revenue. And if you look at the critical sectors, it can be to max of 7 million euros or 1.4% of worldwide revenue. So that is really a risk for your whole company of not being compliant to NIS2.
So you've built a platform to help solution providers, IT companies address the NIS2 compliance. Walk me through kind of what your approach is and what you've put together to help with that compliance process.
Yes. So we really have developed a platform around NIS2. We've done this for years. We did it for ISO. We did it for medical device regulations, GDPR, and others. And what our approach always was make it simple. Because reading a directive like NIS2 is really difficult. You have to go through it again and again, and then if you're not a legal specialist, it's really difficult to understand what's there. And that's exactly what we did. We made it simple. With a team of legal and technical consultants, we've been through this directive and we've turned it around, especially for your organization, to really pick it up simple, fill in your the things, the measures that you have made on every chapter that's needed and the requirement that's needed, so you can, in the end, comply to NIS2 on a really fast and easy way.
So this seems like the approach would be really good for somebody, particularly that may not be as familiar with it. Let's walk through like sort of a simple example. Say that I'm a medical device supplier, and in particular, I'm thinking about a managed services customer who supports this customer, right? So they've got a customer who supplies a small medical device, right? It's not a particularly piece, and they're American based, but they sell enough of them over in Europe to be compliant. Walk me through the process of how a solution provider would help this customer specifically with their needs?
Yeah, so what we have developed is a platform that you can start using as a customer. And it will be even better if you have a consultant from an MSP partner, because they really can help you out with all the details and even become quicker compliant to NIS2. So we have four different customers. We have different versions of the portal. And when you start working in the portal, you will see all these requirements and they are there and they have explanations. They have explanations where you need to fill in who is responsible for different types of subjects. And there are different places where you can fill in what you have, what kind of measures you have made for each subject. So for instance, if we look at security awareness, you will be asked, what have you done around security awareness training inside of your company? And then there will be a way where you can fill in all the measurements that you have made around security awareness. And of course, if you have an MSP that really helps you out with this, then they can also support you in setting up the security awareness training, maybe MXDR solutions or other solutions around cybersecurity.
So for a lot of my listeners, right, they've got American-based businesses, they're focused on that, and they've done some work already around compliance. They may have, you know, worked to be compliant with some of the regulations that are relevant here. You worked with some companies that have then transitioned to try and do business in Europe. Give me a bit of a sense of like how much that preparedness will apply when thinking about NIS2.
Yes, that's a good question, Dave. We see, of course, different directives. And one of the directives we, of course, also see in Europe, but also outside of Europe, is the ISO 27001 and other ISO directives. And of course, what we see is there is similarity between NIS2 and ISO. And what we did in our platform is that it has a cross-reference. So if you are compliant to one of these chapters, then it will also cross-reference to your ISO if you're using also our ISO portal for that. So there are similarities, and on different requirements, you can become compliant really quickly because you maybe already have done that.
So Eric, if people are interested in learning a little bit more, how can they get in touch?
Yes, we have a website for that, Dave. It's you can find it on cyberbasics.org. You can find all the information there, and also the way to come and contact with me. And I'm really happy to help you out with any kind of questions around NIS2.
Erjan Fraser is the CEO and co-founder at Fraser & Schuckman, focused on the ICT delivery in a fast and co-efficient way, focusing on security and compliance. He's joined me today from his home in the Netherlands. Eric, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Dave. Have a nice day.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines, posted at businessof.tech. If you like the content, please make sure to hit that like button, follow, or subscribe. It's free and easy and the best way to support the show and help us grow. You can also check out our Patreon, where you can join the Business of Tech community at patreon.com/MSPradio, or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on the show, visit mspradio.com/engage. Once again, thanks for listening to me, and I will talk to you again on our next episode of The Business of Tech.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.